a literature teacher, and I've done 30 years in public school in the Kingwood, Humble Kingwood area, and then 3 years in private Christian school. So I kind of am bringing like a wide range of experience in dealing relationally with people and then logistically in handling content. So if you guys are interested in teaching a class, and Barry, as you get more into teaching what you're teaching, it's the two. It's the relational aspect, and then it's the subject matter. It's how you approach those things. So that's what we'll be talking about tonight. And as I've prepared my material, and as I've prayed, and as I've thought about this, and looking over my notes and rewriting my notes and thinking about what I wanted to share tonight, the word that keeps popping up in my prayer life and in my mind over and over again is the word abiding. And so if you're taking notes or if you want to jot some things down, it's really this one word just keeps coming back over and over and over again. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this tonight. And it's that word abiding. And when you think about it, our most successful and most precious relationships are those that we abide in. It's a belonging. It's an intimacy that we want to develop. And as Ben was sharing about his third grade or fourth grade Sunday school teacher that he was talking about, I was sitting there, and as I was thinking about abiding, I was thinking about Mrs. Bush. And Mrs. Bush was my third grade Sunday school teacher in New Jersey, and that was the class where I came to know the Lord, where I gave my heart to the Lord. And every now and then I'll think about Mrs. Bush, and I know she probably has long gone to be with the Lord. But when Ben said that Mrs. Jones, I think, was his teacher, that everything that he has done, she's had a part in, she's had a hand in. And when I think of all of the opportunity that God has given me over the years with ministering to people, teaching with people, going on mission trips, connecting with people, every now and then I'll think of the people who have had a hand in that. And that's where it really started for me, was back in this church that my parents took me to, and Mrs. Bush, and that she just abided with us. She was, I'm 57 years old, and I still remember my third grade Sunday school teacher. And I want to be that for people. I want to have a hand in the things that they find important, and the things that they want to attach themselves to. As leaders, we abide in our church. We abide here. We dwell here. It's more than just fellowship and that kind of thing. It's a place where we belong. And so that's the kind of thing that I want to pass on to as many people as I can, that importance of dwelling and abiding. Our pastor is going through a sermon series right now called Woven Together. And April, you attend here, don't you? And so this idea of not just being woven together individually, but being woven together, I think that's what, if I had one phrase that really I wanted to capture what it is that I do, it would be being woven together. And that's what we see with this word abiding, is this being woven. If you were here last week and you saw the sermon where they were talking about the tapestries and how those threads are knotted and woven together, I saw that visual, and I'm like, that's what I want to be a part of. That's why I love teaching, and that's why I love being a part of this church. And as leaders and as prospective leaders, this is what we want to focus on, is this abiding. So in my estimation, in my experience and opinion, teaching is abiding. Teaching is abiding with. It's more than just presenting material. It's more than just preparing a lesson. It's what we're going to be talking about tonight goes into this teaching the heart and not just the head. That, I think, is the essence of it. And it's a matter of working from the inside out rather than the outside in. And this is pretty much what we're going to focus on in our next few minutes, is kind of flipping the way that we usually do it. And we're going to be talking about some things that this will really make sense to you as we go through. And as I said, with just all of the, over the years, all of the teaching that I've done and all of the relationships that I've been a part of, this is where it's all kind of come together for me. I take my example from Christ himself, who was the master teacher. I had someone tell me one time that, you know, Jesus, who was the Word, he was, you know, the written Word, all of the great teaching he did, he never had to study. He never had to open the Scripture. He read from the Scripture and he taught from the Scripture, but he was the Scripture. I thought that was a pretty profound thought, that he was the greatest teacher that ever lived, and he never even had to. I have to study, but he didn't have to study. I want to give you a quick word on teaching as a service to God. This is a great quote by Oswald Chambers, and if you never have read My Utmost for His Highest, which is Oswald Chambers' devotional, I read him every day. And just this last week, January 17th, this is his quote about service. So if you want to write down January 17th, you can go back and read that whole entry. But he writes, "The call of God is an expression of his nature." His nature. "The service which results in my life is an expression of my nature." I thought that was really interesting, that the call of God is an expression of his nature. The service which results in my life is an expression of my nature. Service is the overflow which pours from a life filled with love and devotion. Service to God is the deliberate love gift of a nature that has heard the call of God. So service, serving him, I serve by teaching, but that is my gift to God because I've heard that call, and how that service plays out in my life is how he's woven me together, how he's gifted me, how he's equipped me, and taking that step of, I love what Pastor talked about, taking that next step of courage. You know, teaching a midnight madness session, doing mission trips, taking a risk in, you know, calling someone or engaging with someone, it takes a lot of courage to take that next step. And so as we hear that call of God and as we serve him through those things that he's gifted us with, then we can move forward and we can go deeper in our relationship with God. The relational aspect of teaching has been referred to as the Martha Mary principle. And I'm a Martha, but some people are Marys, and you know that example of Martha and Mary. But we had a speaker at our church, can't remember who it was, but he was talking about the Martha / Mary, both together. And I thought that was really intriguing because I love that story in the Bible. And what he said was, as Martha, we open our homes. We open ourselves. Sometimes we physically open our homes. But as Marthas, this is pretty profound to me, that first we have to open ourselves. We have to open the homes of ourselves to other people. We have to prepare. We have to be faithful in our time. We have to study. We have to do those things in preparation. We have to be available. We have to be ready for those things that God calls us to do. We are called to be Marthas in that we have to open that home. But as Marys, we also have to sit at his feet. And we have to learn from him. And we have to abide with him. So it's both. We have to open ourselves in availability and preparation and service. But then as Mary, we have to sit at the feet of Jesus. And we have to abide first with him before we can abide with others. And that's really the first point that I want to make sure that we get. The foundational element for us as teachers is to be good students of the Word ourselves. That is foundational and that is pivotal. We have to spend time reading and pondering something other than what we're studying for a class. We have to do that. We have to go deeper than how can I prepare this material. And I know with, like, teaching precept, we're doing Isaiah right now. It takes a lot of study, a lot of preparation to get that in-depth Bible study done. In my Life Bible Study class, we're currently going through the Kings and Prophets, and we're doing Ezra, and we're doing, we've done 2 Chronicles. It takes a lot of study. But what I found as an English teacher specifically, you know, I taught literature for a long time, and where my teaching really started to unlock was when I started just reading books that I wasn't teaching. I'm not just locked into Romeo and Juliet. I'm not just locked into, you know, all those books that gave you nightmares, you know, that you still, Huck Finn, you know, all these books that, which my husband knows he read, but he denies that he ever read Huck Finn. instead of just being locked into that, I'm just reading. I'm reading all kinds of things, and it gave me a greater love for the written word. It broadened my knowledge. It instilled passion. And even though it wasn't something I was going to ever use in a classroom, it gave me just a wider spectrum. And it gave me a voice in the conversation of great books. And every now and then I could direct a student to something, and they'd go, do all these authors, you know, do they just steal from each other? I said, well, no. If they're good authors, they're like little libraries. They have little libraries in their minds. They've read everything, and it gives them a passion. And so if we can do that with literature and do that with books or do that with hobbies, if you have a specific, you know, interest, if you're a hunter, things like that, or you're going to read everything you can about that just because you love it and you want to get that passion. And so how much more so with the Word of God, if we can start making those connections personally and abiding with Him. So the first step, I think, before you can even talk about teaching and how to be an effective teacher, you have to be a good student of the Word. It doesn't mean you've got to put hours and hours and hours in, but it means you have to just be with the Lord just because you love Him, and not because, oh, I've got to get this lesson done, and you have to do it as a drudgery and as a duty, and you work on it Saturday night because you know you're presenting the next day. Just enjoy the Lord. Enjoy your time with Him. Just be with Him. Sometimes it's just silent. Maybe you're not even reading a lot of things. You're just sitting with Him, and you're letting Him talk to you. You know, prayer is a one-way conversation sometimes. You know, we pray. We have all these requests that go up to God, and I think sometimes the reason why our prayers just kind of hit the ceiling is because we don't spend time to listen, and we don't give Him time to talk to us. You know, I was just sitting in the chapel. I didn't have a first session, which was really great. Because I could go right from dinner, and I just sat in the chapel. There was nobody in there, and I was just, you know, sitting there going over my notes one more time and praying. And I looked up at that picture. I don't know if you've been in there in a while, but there's a stained glass picture where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there's a light shining on him, and he's looking up. And there's that little halo over his head, and I thought, that's what I want to spend a lot of time doing. When I have time to either pray or read the Bible, I read the Bible. Because as I read the Word, that opens up my prayers, rather than just, you know, praying and giving my request to God. It all goes back to that abiding. So be a good student of the Word yourself. Second thing, and it doesn't really pertain, these two are not really teaching right now. Barry is teaching, so I'm hoping I'm going to give you something that maybe will quicken your heart and go, I want to do that. I want to find a way to maybe teach, or maybe not to formally teach, but really anybody who's in our sphere of influence, we're teaching. So being a good student of the Word, all of these will apply whether you're teaching a class or whether you're just talking to somebody. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a structured class, but if you teach a structured class or will teach a structured class, you want to think of your class members as students. Okay, they are members of your class, but they're students. That's why they're there. Okay, they're learning from each other. There's certainly discussion going on. They're interacting with each other, but they're ultimately looking to you. They're looking to you for leadership, for preparation, for expertise, for a pathway to personal growth. I'm involved with U of H and Rice University. I go to different seminars, and when I was at Rice for this week, we had these different speakers that would come in, and we had this Hamlet expert. I was so excited. I couldn't wait to get there. It's a Hamlet expert. I'm going to learn some more. He came in. He goes, all right, let's divide up into groups, and I want you all to talk about what your impression of Hamlet is. So disappointed. I thought, I'm here to hear I want to know what he says. He's an expert in this field. Even though, yeah, we'll have some good discussion, I want to know what he thinks. So as you come into your classes, we definitely are journeying together. We're definitely learning from one another, but they're really looking to you for that leadership. So that's why you want to make sure that you're spending the time that you need, not just in preparing the lesson, though that's important, not just in, you know, meeting someone for lunch and going through, you know, how are you? Those things are important, but it's getting into that meat. I've got friends that I talk to that immediately we're talking about the Bible. We're immediately talking about what is God doing in your life, rather than the surface kinds of things. But it's not to negate those things. But I love when we just, you know, what is God doing in your life? When we start sharing about the Lord, we start sharing about our prayer lives. And most of the people we interact with are looking for those kinds of things. You know, I met Tiara as she walked in, and we immediately got a connection with what? With Bible, with learning Chinese, with church, with missions. In like a two-second conversation, we already were pulled in. You know, we asked, you know, what's your name, or those kind of things. Going on a mission trip with April, you know, knowing Barry through my husband. It's the same thing. You immediately, you walked in, and we're like, oh, I'm going in, what month?
Possibly in June,
going back to the J people. And because we've established a connection and we have a common bond, not just in, you know, surface things, but we've been pulled into it immediately. And so that's what I pray, is the people that I interact with, the people that I teach, the people that I get to know, that we can immediately go deeper. How does that happen? That happens because I spend time with the Lord. I spend time just abiding with Him. So when I relationally meet somebody, the Lord wants to pull me in. He wants to pull that person in. And unless you're dealing with non-believers, which we do all the time, if you're dealing with a fellow Christian and you've been spending time with the Lord, He is going to give you that connection very, very quickly, because it's the Spirit of God in us connecting with the Spirit of God in another person. And He does that. And just, if you have a friend that also is with the Lord, also in the Word, that connection is amazing. Here's another good quote that I love. A.W. Tozier, who is one of my favorite writers, when we went through the church devotional, what was the name of it? Come Boldly. Oh, that has been one of my favorite ones, because I would immediately look, if you have not read it, you need to get it from the bookstore, because it's different Christian writers. And I would look at the bottom, it's like, oh, this is one from Tozier. And so I got a book by Tozier, because I just, after I finished reading that devotional, I just, and Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, another one. A.W. Tozier writes, knowledge plus passion is irresistible. I love that, because that gives us the Martha and the Mary. If you have the knowledge without the passion, it's going to be dry, it's going to be boring and stale. If you have the passion without the knowledge, you're not feeding, you're not giving anybody. So if you have a knowledge and you have a passion, Tozier says this is irresistible. I've never spelled irresistible, I'm an English teacher. Okay, irresistible. That's my challenge word. My passion is the Word of God. When Dr. Bruce Fong was here, I think he's the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, and I just so connected with him, because he held up his Bible and he said, have a passion for this book. He said, I will teach to anyone, anywhere, anytime. And I went, that's me. I will teach this word to anyone, anywhere, anytime. If it's 3 people, 4 people, if it's 100 people, it doesn't matter to me. If I have a precept class, I had one person showing up for like a year. And then it grew to 3. And oh, we just feel so badly that you're just teaching to us. I said, I'm teaching out of the overflow. I'm teaching what I love. It doesn't matter to me how many I'm teaching, how few or how many, because it's all about getting this word into people. It's all about connecting with people relationally. If I had 100 people in this room, I'd be teaching exactly the same way as I do if I'm teaching 2 or 3, because I'm teaching what I love, teaching the passion. As you're connecting with people, if you don't teach a formal class, if you're connecting with people, the things that you love, the things that you're passionate about is what's going to connect. And so all of these things for personal readiness is going to set the tone for your class. This will set the tone for your class. And as you set that tone continually, week to week, you're going to invite them in. You're going to envelop them. You're going to create connectivity. You'll create family and community. And that's really what we want to do. We want to create family and we want to create community. In the realm of connectivity, you need to be intentional about learning people's names. Whether you're teaching a class, whether you're meeting them for the first time, you really need to learn those as quickly as possible. Knowing someone's name is the basis for knowing that person. lots of people know me by sight, especially at church. A lot of people, they know where I belong, they know where I fit, they see me in the lobby, they know me by sight. But if somebody can greet me by my name, that really means a lot to me. It means a lot to you. Recently, I walked up to a friend who was talking to a staff member. And I walked up to him, and he was going to introduce me to this staff member. And before he could introduce me, he went, "Oh, I know Sandy." And it was like, I had such a feeling of belonging that that person knew my name. And in that instant, I thought, that's what God does. I know Sandy. I know her. He doesn't have to ask around. He knows me. And so that is, names are very important to God. They're very, very important to God. He knows you by your name. He's called you by your name. He puts your name on the heart of other people to pray. If someone's ever popped into your head to pray for them, that's God putting that person's name in your mind or in your heart. He put our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Malachi tells us that he has a book of remembrance where people who talk about the Lord, he writes their names down. My favorite, if you've never looked at this scripture, one of my favorite scriptures is Revelation 2:17. And Revelation 2:17 says that when we get to heaven, we are going to get a white stone. Are you familiar with the white stone reference in the Bible? I'll read it to you because it is so phenomenal. I just can't wait to get here. If you came for no other reason, this is amazing truth. Revelation 2:17 says, "To him who overcomes," that's all of us when we get to heaven, "to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it." When we get to heaven, we're going to get a white stone with a name on it that only God knows and we know. It's like a nickname that he's going to have for us. That's how important names are. I can't wait to get my white stone and see what my name is. I just think that is just so amazing. So to me, that's why it's important to know people's names, to call them by their names. I wish we could do an entire session. Maybe next year at Midnight Madness, we could do a session just on names. You know, all the names of God in the Bible. Different times in our life, we have a name for God that meets our need at that time. Right now, for me, it's where God is the lover of your soul. That's what I'm really hooked on right now. Sometimes it's God the Father. Maybe it's healer. Maybe it's provider. All of those things. So names are very, very important, and you have to learn people's names. In an LBS class, this would pertain to visitors. Like if somebody wanders into your class or comes into your class, concentrate for a minute on their name and their face. And really, I mean, when they walk away or later, write it down somewhere where they're not, you know, look, you can't say, "Well, let me write that down." But as you look at their name and their face, as soon as you can, jot it down and something to remember that person's name by. It's very impactful. If you see that person in the lobby the next week, and you say, "Hey, April, how are you?" It's like, wow. You know, it makes you feel special, but it has to be intentional. We had preview night a couple of nights ago on Wednesday night, and I had one couple that had come into my class last semester. They came like the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I asked them their name, and then I asked them their name again, and they came in Wednesday night, and I said, "Tell me your name one more time." And Jim and Rhoda. That's right, Jim and Rhoda. And I wrote it down. I'm going to remember Jim and Rhoda. I've asked them like three times. And that's what I do. I will ask people the first few times, "Tell me your name again. Tell me your name again." Because you get to a tipping point where you can't ask them anymore. I mean, if somebody, like if Barry comes in, he introduces himself, and then I see him by sight like for a few weeks, I can't ask you your name again because already too much time has gone by. I've already said hello to you like 12 times. So I can't ask you your name. So that is the key moment, the key time to learn somebody's name. If I see Tiara again and I forgot, the next time I see you, if I just can't, I'll ask you again, "What's your name again?" Because that's a good, I haven't talked to you a lot. Now, if I see you for a whole year and I've forgotten your name, I can't go back and ask you after a year. That it's embarrassing. So I always embarrass myself the first few times until I get it, and then I write it down. In my milestones class, which doesn't apply to you all, but In my milestones class, I don't depend on name tags because people don't wear them, you know, so I always make sure that I make a point of knowing their name, be intentional about that. So as you are intentional about knowing people, knowing their names, the other thing that you really need to make sure that you do in this progression is to start praying for them. And I'll tell you my secret to praying for them. Most of us have way too many relationships to keep a list and to pull out that list and start praying. I rarely use a list when I pray. When I start a new class, like on milestones, I have my list of people, and I'll, maybe we'll use that list, and I'll pray for them. But I pray for them, and I ask God to put people on my heart to pray for them as He wants them to be prayed for. It's very freeing. I've got like maybe 100 people. Yeah, I just can't pray for 100 people every morning. I just can't do it. And I don't want to feel tied to that prayer list, and I don't want to feel have it be a burden. Oh, no, if I don't pray for Tiara today, her day's going to fall apart. It's not up to me. It's not self-driven. My prayer is not self-driven. It's spirit-driven. So I'd ask the Lord to put people on my heart that He needs, that He wants me to pray for. And sometimes it's the same people over and over again if they really have a need. Other times it's somebody that, you know, just pops into my head. So I pray for them, and this is not just pray for them. Let them know you're praying for them. This is the biggest, I think the second biggest key to creating community and creating family is not only learning their name, learning who they are, praying for them, and then letting them know that you're praying for them. So if Angela pops into my head to pray for her, before that day is over, I'm going to shoot her an email. I'm going to say, Angela, I have been praying for you. And I may get specific, or I may just say, you know, I'm praying for you. This is what creates community. This is what lets people know that you care for them. Every now and then I'll get a card from Doug from the... prayed for you today. And I can't tell you, when I get that card in the mail and I know that somebody's been praying for me, it not only gives me a sense of belonging and a sense of family, but it gives me strength and it gives me courage. And I want to be that person. That's how I create community. I learn people. I pray for them. You know, I do in my milestones, in my LBS class, I've got a time each week that I set aside just to pray and fast for those people. I do that structurally. But then I don't depend on that for the whole week. I just ask God to put people on my heart that I can pray for them and let them know that I'm praying for them. And, you know, ask the Lord to prompt you when to pray for people. He has never let me down in this. And this is another kind of strange thing. I woke up this morning and I have never prayed for this person in my entire life. I started praying for Valerie Mott. I don't know why little Valerie popped into my head. It was just so sweet. And so when Pastor Greg mentioned Valerie tonight, I'm like, that's God. It just gives me chills to think of it. And I know Greg is really busy right now, but I'll probably shoot him an email and tell him, I prayed for Valerie. And you mentioned Valerie. You know what that's going to do for him? Just going to completely just not only encourage him, but let him know, you know what? God is a God who sees. He is a God who hears. Just some random person in the congregation started praying for Valerie, and then I talked about her. It's just really cool. So those are the kinds of things that he does. If there's somebody in your study that is struggling with the material, or somebody who... Maybe there's a person in your class that you, oh, I think Chris is really going to like this. Shoot him an email and say, Chris, you're going to really love what's on page, you know, 230 this week of Knowing God. Or I've emailed my friend Nancy and I said, we just were talking about this. You're going to love this, what's coming up. And I just, it's just quick. It doesn't have to take hours and hours. But it's those little things that really make the difference. People are not used to that. People are not used to others being intentional and praying for them and letting them know that they're being prayed for. And, wow, she, you know, Tiara cared enough about me to tell me about something that maybe I'd be interested in. That's how you create connectivity and create family. And it also focuses your prayer life. That will start focusing you. The other thing that I do in my LBS class and in my Milestones class is I give people the freedom to rotate in and rotate back out of my class. Even in an LBS, that, you know, it's okay for people to feel free to move in and out. So as you, you know, call them by name, as you pray for them, as you communicate with them, you're going to develop a core. You're going to develop a core that faithfully kind of wants to stay with you. And then give them that freedom to rotate in and out. Some of this applies to Milestones, so I'm not gonna share it because it doesn't really apply to us. But even for an LBS class, if you're doing the quarterly material, or you have an opportunity maybe to help in a class or to take on a class, start looking at whatever it is that you're teaching. And I know, Barry, you all do this in your class. Start looking at it as a progressive revelation. What I'm doing in my precept class right now is we're going through an Old Testament series. We started with the covenant class in precept. And I had a group that started small, and a few of them wanted to stay with me. And I said, well, maybe they didn't want to let go of David, you know, with the covenant. So I said, okay, let's go into 1 and 2 Samuel. And they wanted to see what happened next. And so we're traveling through that as a progressive revelation. So I'm giving them something that they want to continue in. But I also make those as standalones. So anybody new coming in will feel like, well, you know, I've missed the last, you know, several semesters. I can't really break in. So this is what I like to do. And my core has changed. It's evolved. It's kind of, you know, melded and adjusted as we go along. But once I have someone in a class, I continue communicating with them. I continue praying for them. I continue shooting them emails. I mean, once they're in my family, my precept family, my LBS family, they're in for good. You know, I had one lady who was with me for one semester about 3 years ago, and as she started feeling free with sharing, she shared a few things with me, and she and I still communicate. You know, I see her in the lobby, ask her how her son is, and we've become good friends. So all of this allows me to reach beyond the class. It allows me to reach beyond. I've already created a family. I've created a connectivity within the class, and this is what allows me to move from the realm of student to friend. Okay, they're members of the class, they're students, I'm interacting with them, I'm communicating with them, I'm praying for them, I'm encouraging them with emails, and that's how you move from that. You don't just jump into being friends automatically. You have to move from student to friends. I foster friendships outside of class, as the Lord leads. I'm intentional about that, as the Lord leads. And you know, it's not going to be all of them. It's not going to even be the majority of them. I mean, most people are just, they're going to come, they're going to enjoy the class, they're going to look for a hug on Sunday, they're going to exchange emails, and that's the majority of them. But occasionally, I'll have an opportunity to move that outside of the class. And so what I wanted to share with you is to seize any movement toward friendship. Any movement toward friendship, seize it and be intentional about it. And in, you know, I had a few ladies that, you know, I could tell that they maybe wanted to, and I said, can you go have coffee on Tuesday? Can you have lunch on Sunday? It's not like we need to get together for lunch sometime. We really should get together for coffee. I must have said that 100 times to this one person. We say it all the time. And finally, I'm texting now. I'm really excited about that. I've just started. I can't stop. I'm one of those people now that always checks their phone. It's terrible. And so I texted her. I said, let's have lunch on Saturday. It's a great idea. And so we nailed it down to a time, and I was really intentional about that. So my personal pledge is to initiate any movement toward friendship outside of class, if it's woman to woman. I mean, obviously, you know, man to man or woman to woman. And I've told the Lord, most of the people that go to church here that I know live here. and I'm in the Humble Kingwood area. And so when I meet people for lunch or meet them for coffee, I mean, I'm driving from Kingwood. I'm going to meet them at Cafe Express. Or I'm going to meet them here at, you know, Highland Village. And it's like when I meet people, it's like a half a day. But I've given that time to the Lord. I've tithed that time to the Lord. And he always gives it back to me. It is just, it's amazing. And so that's what I wanted to share with you. To, as you go through these, and it's a natural progression of steps. It's the first abiding with God yourself. It's sitting at his feet. It's giving of your service. After you hear that call of God, whatever it is that service is you are obedient to that. As Pastor talked about, you're obedient. You take that next step. You're courageous. You do those things. That service leads into knowing people. Whether it's a structured class, or whether it's just a grow group, whether you're, you know, in a Bible study class and you've got a little small group, that is knowing people in that small group. Praying for people in your small group. Pray for people in your small group and then let them know you're praying for them. Encourage them. And then if there's any sense of moving beyond that into friendship, this is where the mentoring and the discipleship takes place. It's mentoring and it's discipleship. A lot of times that happens within the confines of a class or within the confines of a grow group or a small, what do they call those pockets now within large classes? Small groups. Yeah, that's what we call them.
Grow groups.
We call them small groups in Sunday school, but, you know, grow groups. If there's any way that you can have a little bit of an inkling that somebody would love to get together with you, seize it, capitalize on it, meet them, and you're going to start that mentoring and discipleship process that has to be moved from the actual class. It's got to move outside of church in order for it to be deep. That's just what it takes. It takes time and it takes commitment. And that's where the mentoring is. Friendship is not the goal. For me, friendship is not the goal, but it's a spiritual byproduct of being faithful and being obedient. And it's a blessing. If God opens that door, it's a blessing, it's a byproduct. Many people that I'm involved with or that I, you know, that I am friends with, I just don't have time for one more relationship. I don't have any time for one more friendship. You know, you do. You do. And our priorities shift. You know, I've got a family, I've got a husband, I've got all kinds of things, and they're not always the same priority every day. Sometimes this priority here gets moved to the top, and that's okay. That's okay. I mean, God is obviously the top. But sometimes meeting someone for coffee has to take precedence over something else. So I think this is very freeing to me. I have lots of classes on priority. All right, it's God, it's family, it's children, and it's my ministry. Every now and then, it's your ministry. Every now and then, it's meeting with a friend. Every now and then, it's setting aside time to shoot an email to somebody. Okay, so that was very freeing to me, that my priority list is not a list, it's not a vertical list, it's a cycle, it's a circle. All of them are priority. See how that happens? And that wheel turns. So just because something takes precedent over my granddaughter for any given day, it doesn't mean my granddaughter is no longer important. It doesn't mean she's gone to the bottom of my list. It just means that wheel has turned a little bit for that day. So as long as the Lord is at the top, he can rotate that wheel for me. He can rotate that wheel any way he wants to on any given day. What is the key for me to be open to whatever he wants me to do? My days are an open availability for the Lord. There are things I have to do. If I don't show up at my daughter's house to care for my granddaughter, they don't go to work that day. I mean, I have to get up in the morning and go do that, obviously. But these other things kind of shift. It's not going to be long before the community of your class starts extending laterally. What I've noticed is that as I am faithful in this, this is where I get connection to connection within my class, student to student. They start connecting with each other laterally. They are talking to each other at Midlink Cafe. They're talking to each other in Corner Books. They want to bring friends. They want people to abide and belong just like they do. So it's not just teaching the lesson, getting out the prayer list, and inviting friends. And, you know, we have to grow our classes. That, again, is going to be a byproduct of what you're putting into people's lives. Then that starts extending laterally, person to person. In my precept class, when I walk in now, I've got one lady came in and said, I really didn't understand how to, and this other lady, oh, I help you do that. And they're now teaching each other. They're sharing with each other as a teacher. That's the best thing. And so that's how this happens. This can't happen unless this happens. Unless you're just in a relational fellowship, get-together kind of group. If it's Bible study and discipleship, that's the way it's going to happen. This right here of what I've shared with you, this being a cycle kind of spoke thing, the Martha Mary, the sharing ourselves, working from the inside out rather than the outside in. This is where you're going to have a healthy, relevant biblical community, which is our church. Has to be relevant, but it has to be biblical, and it has to be community. It should be the natural outflow of your life. You should be teaching and sharing and being in your grow group, and relationally, it should be the overflow of what's in your heart, what's in your soul, and what's in your life. That is really, in a nutshell, the essence of what I wanted to share with you. And that as the Lord teaches me, as he abides with me, as he intercedes for me and guides me, that's what I want to do for other people. Okay? So the Lord teaches me. He abides with me. Everything he does for me, everything he puts into my life, knowing my name, seeing me, knowing me, my desires, my passions, those kinds of things. As he teaches me, I want it to outflow into service to others. And as it goes to others, they're going to start being encouraged in their walk with the Lord. That's what it's all about. It's for each person to grow in their walk with the Lord, for each person to abide with Christ. That's what Pastor Greg would say. He's teaching corporately, but it's still about the Holy Spirit connecting with one person, connecting with one person, connecting with one person. We want to be a vehicle. We want to be a vessel so other people can grow in Christ, whether that's a structured class, whether it's a grow group, whether it's a friendship. That is our key. That's our goal, is for people to grow in their love and their knowledge of Christ. And I want to share one verse with you real quickly, and I've got 2 minutes, so I'm going to honor your time. I've till 10:15, 10:10, doing good. 2 Corinthians 2:14. This is my ministry verse. I've got a lot of personal verses, most of them in the book of John. That's my very favorite book. It's amazing. This is 2 Corinthians 2:14. And let me read it to you. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. He leads us in triumph, and he manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Whether it's on the mission field, whether it's in our LBS class, whether it's getting together for coffee with someone, whether it's, the list goes on and on. I want to manifest the knowledge of him in every place. I want to be a sweet aroma. I want people to say, here comes Sandy. Oh, and they can feel something in my spirit. The Holy Spirit in me connects to their spirit. That's the sweet aroma of Christ. That's what I want to give to people. I want to read you an email that I got from a friend. She actually signs her emails now, your student and friend. And I love that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I spent some structured time just getting with my precept people that were with me last semester, telling them we were starting and what room we're meeting in. I was looking forward to seeing them. And she sent me back this email, and this wasn't even solicited. and I got it this week, and I think it really encapsulates what I'm talking about. Part of her email says, I think how you helped me to grow was making me feel special and seen. Special and seen. In being patient with my schedule and always welcoming me back. I have also grown by how you always reiterate truths we have discovered together. I am always humbled by your self-study, and your thirst for knowledge of Him leads me to go deeper and enjoy more. She said, your life always encourages me toward good works. To me, that was exactly what I had been studying for this session. It's what I've been praying over. It really confirmed for me everything that I asked the Lord to really implement in my life. That is what my ministry has kind of evolved into, but I didn't get it all day one. It's just been a progressive growth with the Lord as my relationship with the Lord has grown beyond the surface, beyond devotional reading, into study, into prayer, into just sitting quietly, not even giving Him all my requests, just being Mary, just sitting at His feet, and what do you want me to do? How can I be obedient? How can I take the next step? How can I be courageous? How can I take a risk in my relationships and my ministry? This is what He, has opened up to me. So I think this is what God wanted me to share with the four of you. I ask that God would bring tonight exactly the people that needed to hear some of these things. You may not be able to use everything, but I think the heart of what God is about, it's about abiding. It's just all about abiding. I gave you a handout that kind of goes over some of our main points and our outlines, so if you wanted to go back and remember something. I'm going to give you my email address just so you have it. If you want to ask me a question or anything like that. And this is just sandyleewright@gmail.com. And so I'd be really happy to communicate. I do email mails in my class, and you don't get into personal, things, but there's, I've got one man named Frank, and whenever there's something that I think he'll really be of interest to, I just always say, you can really like this, and he's brought like 3 visitors to my class because of that personal connection. Right. We don't really have time for questions. We have to go. And Angela, I think I'm going to award my Starbucks card to my new friend. Yeah. Yay. And she's going to be helping. She's connected me to her church and her Chinese church, and they're going to hopefully help me a little bit with my pronunciation of Mandarin this year as I'm learning Mandarin.
Oh,
yeah.
Perfect.
I've been praying that God would somehow bring somebody into my life that could personally help me, and Tiara walked in, and within 2 minutes we started talking about that. So, sorry, guys. And also, I know April and I know Barry, so I didn't want there to be any conflict she knows her. That's why she got the card. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. I pray that everything that you have spoken to our hearts, that we would take at least 1 or 2 or 3 of these nuggets of good teaching and good friendship principles, and that there would be something that Tiara and April and Angela and Barry can use in their friendship, in their family, with their children, with their grandchildren, with their future children and grandchildren, spouses, struggles. I just pray that you will speak loudly and that you will draw them into your word and into a Bible. All right, thank you, guys.